Thank you.
This morning we find us sitting in church, in a Divine Science church. This church offers a spiritual teaching, but let us remember that it is also a religion. Now the word religion. It basically refers to a worship of God, indicating faith or belief in a deity or a spiritual being. It seems simple enough. Those who are interested in pursuing a religious conviction would seek a way to do so. But there are many concepts and ideas that we entertain about God. And we soon discover that no one particular church meets the needs of everyone who seeks in a religious way. Clearly, when it comes to religion, there is no such thing as one size fits all. Many churches come into existence, each assuring us that they have found the way to heaven, that each of them has a solution to all of life's problems. So now it becomes personal. Our individual view of God defines our method of worship. It also determines the particular religious group or church we choose to attend. Now, I do believe that most of us do consider or contemplate ideas about God, about us, about life, at some point in time. But you know, the religious life, it's not for everyone. Some of us simply dismiss these ideas, admitting that we really aren't interested in a concept of life that goes beyond what we experience as a human being living in a material world. Now, as you know, without the desire or the need to do something, we clearly do not do it. This is why we leave everyone for their own journey to their own discovery. We are reminded that a flower will not bloom before it's time to do so. The grass, it will not grow until it is nurtured in a particular way with rain and sunshine. And man will not unfold to his true potential as a spiritual being until he desires and longs to know himself in that way. It simply will not happen. Okay, so now it is time to talk about those individuals who do consider religion and then decide it is something that they do wish to pursue. They are very much aware of the concepts and the ideas that they have about God. They may have already searched and discovered the religious teaching that is compatible with their way of thinking. Now, just what are the expectations of one who is interested in worshiping God? What do we expect to gain from this practice? Well, some of us begin our search for religion because of problems or dissatisfaction with life as we know it. And we begin to wonder, is there another way that we could consider? Others simply want to know more about themselves, and perhaps religion could provide a few answers. We are concerned about who we are, where we came from, why we are here. Basically, what is the truth of us? Now, when in doubt or confusion, man always turns to an idea greater than himself. It was from a place of uncertainty that the concept of a deity or a god to worship first came into being. A Christian religion bases its principles on the teaching of Jesus. Jesus told us of a God of love. And then he urges to seek him above all else. In fact, he said, leave all and follow him. Now that means to release all of the concepts and the ideas that we previously held about God and about life. To discard our current belief system and to follow his message of truth and eternal life. And then he also told us about the kingdom of heaven, revealing that it is available and at hand. Now, hearing all of this, we determine that this is where we want to be. Jesus called God Father, and he told us that we could do the same. Now, when we first read this, we might have been a little excited to learn that we could live in God's house and call him Father. Surely this means that we are his child. Now, when we considered our biological family, we understood that each member had a place, a rank, and a pecking order. The father, he was the head of the household. The mother, his helping hand. The nurturer of the household. Each child had its particular place. Now, there may have been only one child, or perhaps many. It really did not matter. Each member of the family had a particular arrangement, one that was determined by those of the household. We began to wonder, what would our place be, our rank or pecking order, in God's house? How does God determine the position and order of each one who lives in his house? Who is the greatest in the kingdom? Well, this question has already been asked. In Matthew 18, we read, the disciples came unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Now we may have been a little surprised when we first read this. We had not considered that one who had the bearing of a little child could be the greatest one in God's house. That would never have occurred to us. When we first contemplated who this person might be, we may have thought it would be the one with the greatest intellect, or the one who perhaps did the most for his community. Perhaps it is that one who attends church every Sunday, the one who is in good standing with his religious organization. But Jesus also told us that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and God's ways are not his ways. Little children are free from the habits that adults have acquired. They are natural and trustful, because they do not know about deception and diplomacy. They speak from their heart and not from their head. They usually say exactly what they mean, and they believe what they hear. There is no fear or worry about the future for these little people. They know their father will take care of them. A child knows nothing about established ideas and beliefs held by man. You see, the mind of a child, it takes in any image it is given. So when Jesus told the disciples they should be converted and become as little children, he really meant that they should trust their heavenly Father, just like little children trust their parents. Jesus said the way to the kingdom, it's straight and narrow, meaning we cannot carry baggage of past beliefs and convictions into heaven. We enter as that little child, free of any thought, opinion, or idea established by human understanding. Many years ago, Art Linkletter had a show on television where he interviewed children, asking them their opinions about anything and everything. Today, Steve Harvey has taken on this interesting task of asking questions of children. Both of them discovered that kids will say anything they feel like saying. They have no filter. They have no on-off switch. Now, one time, I remember, Art Linkletter asked a little girl about God. Oh yes, she knew all about God. And so he asked her, how so? Does she talk to him? And if she does he answer? Well, the little girl assured him that yes, he answers, and they have wonderful conversations. Then Mr. Linkletter asked, what does God's voice sound like? Well, she looked at him like he should already know the answer. She just assumed that everyone talks with God. She explained that she talks to God just like she talks to her dolls or to her friends. She's not interested if God has an accent or the manner of delivery. She heard him in the way that she could understand, using the language that she was familiar with. When we determine that we want God in our lives, yes, we also want to talk with him. Now, when we talk with somebody, we usually take turns talking and listening, and we just assume this is how it's going to be with God. We are told that God is in the midst of us. Jesus spoke of prayer as a way of talking with God, and he gave instructions. He told us to enter our closet, shut the door, and commune with God. That is, enter that quiet place of inner being and talk with God. I think that most of us do pray, and we have discovered a method of prayer that we practice and adhere to. The important thing is that at some point we stop talking and listening. It may be a little difficult to describe what happens to us in a time of prayer. Some may become still enough so that God may utter his voice. The Bible tells us that when God utters his voice, the earth melts. That is, in God's presence, the earth and everything in it ceases to exist for us, at least for that moment. Now, when we talk with God in that time of prayer, let us remember it is not a time of bringing problems to solve or conditions to fix. When we enter that sanctuary of inner being, we actually leave the world outside our closet door. We leave the whirlwind, the storm, the tempest, and the snare outside God's house. And in the silence, we open the inner ear and the receptive heart. We are told that only the pure in heart shall see God. Now, God is the still small voice, the one that whispers in us in the center of our being. Some will say that God's voice is audible. Others describe it as a feeling, a sensing, or a knowing. Regardless of the language or the delivery, we hear it in the way necessary for our understanding. Now, I think that most of us have had our time in prayer, and we may say that, yes, we talked with God, or we might say that we communed with our Father. According to the degree that we became still, to that degree was he able to speak with us. Again, we ask, what did his voice sound like? This is individual. Was it a language, a feeling, a sensing, or a knowing? It doesn't matter. We listen with the inner ear, and the soul interprets in a way that we will be able to receive it. Now, it is all well and good to be able to commune with God through prayer and meditation. We consider these to be valuable aspects of our spiritual life. But what about those other times? Those times when we are called upon to walk this earth plane as a human being, going to work, performing all those mundane tasks required of daily living. Can we really hear God's voice in our time of busyness? What did Jesus do? Jesus told us that we can be in this world, but not of it. Jesus was true to his time with God. And then we are told he walked among the people, living from that place of illumined consciousness that was gained in his time of prayer and meditation. He was able to be in this world as that human form, but as Christ, he was not of it. Jesus told us he had overcome the world. What does that mean? It means that he had overcome the world consciousness within himself, the material consciousness, the belief in two powers, the belief in good and evil. Now, we may not yet be able to do as Jesus did. While we have attained a certain degree of spiritual consciousness, we may still be in the process of overcoming the material consciousness in us. We are still in the process of overcoming personal beliefs, ones established in our very early years of testing and trying in this world of experience. You know, I thought about this, and once again, I considered my concepts and my ideas about God. I turned to the Bible. The Bible tells us that God made everything, that without him, nothing was made that was made. It also tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And so I reasoned in this way. If God made everything, then I should be able to look at what God created and see God in it. I should be able to see his handiwork in everything that he created. And I am interested in what others have to say about this. Did others perceive in this same way? Well, you know, poets and mystics, they have shared their personal moments when they came face to face with God and heard his voice. Now, another source of inspiration for us is our church hymnal. There is that favorite hymn entitled, In the Garden. The composer shares his experience. I came to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. What a beautiful testament to his time with God. He heard a voice. Was it audible? Was it a sensing, a feeling, or a knowing? Who cares? It came in a way that was meant just for him. There's still yet another hymn, one that tells us of the various ways that we may know God. This hymn is entitled, "This is My Father's World." Now this particular hymn, it bears witness to God's handiwork and how he speaks to us through his work. The verse begins acknowledging that this is my Father's world, and to my listening ear, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. It continues on. I rest in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wondrous rock. Do you see what this means? God speaks to us through nature, through music, through trees, skies, and seas. Is that voice audible? Is it a feeling or is it a knowing? Who cares? God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and God's ways are not our ways. That hymn continues on. The birds, their carols raise. The morning light, the lily white, declare their maker's praise. All that God made bears witness to the one who created it, gave it life, and calls it by name. The hymn continues. God shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. Now these hymns tell us that God is omnipresent, expressing his attitudes, his attributes, and qualities in all that he made. As we walk this earth plane, God speaks to us through all life. Some will call it the still small voice. Both of the hymns call our attention to our ability to hear. One praised it as the voice I hear falling on my ear. And the other refers to my listening ear. Clearly, an appropriate ear is required to hear God's voice. But it's not just any old ear. No, it is a listening ear. It is that ear of inner being, the one that perceives marvelous things. If I walk this earth plane listening with my human ear, I will not hear God's voice. You see, my human ear, it hears the noise of chatter and clutter. It is this ear that hears the message of two powers, the one of good, the one of evil. The human ear takes what it receives as information, and then it turns it over to the mental thought for judgment and reason. God will not be found in the storms of thoughts and judgment. He will not be found in the whirlwind of confusion and uncertain conclusions. The hymn, "This is my Father's world," ends with this plea. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is how we overcome the world consciousness in us. As we travel this earth plane, oh yes, there will be appearances, ones that tempt and entice us. Yes. We will notice them. But regardless of what we see or what we hear, our prayer of declaration should be this. Though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. It's almost like saying to the tempter, get thee behind me. I will not look at you. I will not give you my focus and my attention. Speaking from this place of authority, our world melts away. And now we find him face to face, ourselves with God. And yes, we hear his voice. This morning we have the opportunity to become still and allow God to rule in our place of consciousness. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we enter a time of meditation, a time of stillness. And in the quietness, we feel God's presence. I am here. Turn to me. I never leave you. God speaks to us, and our soul gives recognition. The Father and I are one is our acknowledgement that we are his child. He created us, gave us life, and calls us by name. He invites us to enter his kingdom and be at peace. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Rest from the cares, the demands of the world. I have planted in thee a noble vine, a holy right seed. Its name is Christ, the one of the holy birth. The kingdom is in us, planted in the midst of us. As we leave the sanctuary this morning, we go in peace. God is our sufficiency. Be still and know that this is so. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.